Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
John chapter 11. And I want, I feel as this message is going to be a help to you and I. Because sometimes we approach fasting and prayer a little bit, just a little off the mark sometimes in our mind of why we're doing this and how come we're doing this. And or, boy, I'm going to really try to fast and pray so I can, you know, leverage God to do what I want. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the prayer part. In John chapter 11, little backdrop, as Jesus gets the news that his friend Lazarus died, who is the brother of Mary and Martha, and he gets the news, and he's got to travel. By the time he gets the news and he gets there, Lazarus will have been dead about 4 days, and Jesus makes his way, and he's just outside the village of where they lived. And Martha comes out and meets him, and they have this dialogue. And she says something really important. She says, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died, or this wouldn't have happened. Because, you see, she's been exposed. They were friends of Jesus. She's been exposed to his teaching. She's been exposed to how he treats people. She's been exposed to miracles and healing that has come through Jesus to people. And she just knows, if you'd have been here, I know you would have healed him. This wouldn't have happened. And Jesus begins to work his way through a statement of that he's the resurrection and the life. And the question is that he poses to her is, Martha, do you believe this about me? And I say this at many, many funerals. You know, this is a question for all of us. It's a question for us here today. Do you really believe this about Jesus, that he's the resurrection and the life? Martha goes back to the house, and Jesus remains there, and she whispers or in private to Mary, and says, Mary, the master's looking for you. She gets up quickly and leaves, and those who were mourning over Lazarus at the house, they kind of followed Mary. They thought she was going to be going to the tomb where Lazarus was. Instead, she goes out to greet Jesus, and she says the same thing to him. Jesus, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus says, where's the tomb? Where'd they place him? I want us to jump in here in John chapter 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved once again, he came to the tomb. Now, when it says he was moved once again, when he was talking with Mary and saying, this is where the tomb is, this is where they've laid him, it says that Jesus wept. The crowd was like, see how much he loved Lazarus. Jesus was just so moved. Okay? So he was moved again, it says. And it was a cave, and a stone was laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said to him, Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor, for he's been dead about 4 days. I mean, you know, this is a warm place. Bodies in there. They didn't do an embalming and things like we do today to extend the body until burial. And she says, Jesus, you don't want to take that stone away from the opening. You don't want to open the tomb. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. Say, lifted up his eyes. Where was he looking? Don't say up. Where was he looking? He's looking at his Father, right? Looking up, heaven, where his Father is. He looks up. That's a key thing. He looks up. We'll maybe mention that a little bit later. And he looks up, and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He didn't really say anything yet. I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always, say always,
always,
always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, the man who died, comes out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. We can look at a lot of miracles that Jesus did and things that he performed in the power of God's power in his life and through his life. From raising sick people, driving out fevers, driving out the demonic, people who were lame, people who were blind, people who couldn't hear, all of them healed. They were all still had breath in them. But Lazarus didn't. I mean, of all the powerful miracles, the demonstration of God, he had the power to raise the dead. The power to raise the dead. You see, he was there when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam. Jesus was there, creation. He's part of creation. He knows. He knows the power of life. He knows that life has the last word over death, just like light will never be overcome by darkness. I want us to look at Jesus when it comes to prayer. Because as we go into this fasting and prayer emphasis, I'd like us to maybe, where any of us need it, to just adjust a little bit of our thinking here before we, not that you're not going to pray until tomorrow, but as we look at extended times of prayer, more frequent times of prayer, seeking him more than the natural, regular routine of our life, that this is an emphasis and a time of special prayer and seeking him. I want us to look at that in... Now remember, Jesus, he's Jewish, and he's a rabbi. So he knows stuff, okay? He's a rabbi. He knows the law. He knows the teachings. He knows the traditions. He knows the things that are sacred. And he lived according to this. While bringing the good news of who his Father is, and Jesus himself being fully man and fully God, being Israel's divine healer and becoming the Savior of all who would believe, not just in that day, but through all time until the end. And he looks up to heaven, looks to his Father. There is this acknowledgement of God in all things. And I want you to know, in Hebrew thinking, that is how they viewed everything in life, is that God is in everything, and we're grateful for everything and all that he provides, and that I can really do nothing without him. The breath in my lungs are provided by him. This was how they grew up. This is how they thought. they understood that they were never really alone. That God is always there, 24/7, 365, through time. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's there. He's there for you. That hasn't changed. Tell somebody, He's there for you 24/7. He's there for you 24/7. You see, what's happening is Jesus, as He looks to heaven, it's this acknowledgement that God is there. It's this acknowledgement that God provides everything. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, the Scripture says. It's that He's constant. He's present. He's the one that is the one who provides. We're not alone. See, prayer for Jesus, I want you to get this. Prayer was not a duty for Him. Have you ever felt like it's a duty? I got to have my prayer time today. I got to check the box. You ever felt like it's a duty? If it's like, well, I'd like to go do that, but I got to go prayer. I got to have prayer. Well, I'll hurry it up. God understands, and then I can get on my way. Prayer was not a duty for Him. It came out of this connection, this intimacy for Jesus and His Father. And He looks up, and then He gives thanks. I thank You that You heard me. That comes out of connection. If we feel distant from God, I'm kind of doubtful that we're going to start our prayer with thanks that You always hear me. We get too much going on up here going, yeah, you really haven't sought the Lord. You haven't really been mindful of Him. Yeah, you haven't really been obeying Him. You haven't been really contributing to this ongoing, living, wonderful relationship with God. And your prayer times have kind of been out of duty, not out of relationship. Duty gets us only so far. And we do have responsibility, and we have to discipline ourselves. And that there are some things we do out of duty. There are things that I don't want you to confuse this like it's got to be duty or it's got to be love. Some things are just duty. Like there are things that I do for my wife that feel more like a duty. But I come back to this fact. The reason that I can endure and I'm going to do the duty is because it comes from a foundation that I already love her. That's a difference. There are things that I do for you as a pastor. Some of them I love, and some of it is joyful and easy. And then there's the other stuff. But I still do the other stuff. And I do it out of duty, but it's because He loves me and He loves you, and I'm changed by that I love you. You do the same things in your life. It's not like, well, this is just duty, but there are things that we can do out of duty that doesn't have to do with love or connection or intimacy. And I don't want for my life, your life, that we're just doing a checklist and seeking the Lord. It's like the times I've done something for someone, and well, you did that just because I asked. And I've had to remind my wife, not often, but a few times over what is going to be 39 years being married, that I did do it because you asked, but understand I did it because I love you. Some things we just do out of being asked. As a child, my parents would require or ask things of me. Now, I loved them, but I didn't do that duty because I loved them. I did that duty because I did not want to have to deal with Bob and Roxanne's discipline or the disappointing look or to turn around, finally decide to do it, and find out it was already done. That was one of the worst things, right? I was going to just do it. Uh-huh. Right? I hate that. It's like showing up after the work. You're just a blister, you know? It didn't really do anything. So, Jesus, there's this deep connection with the Father. He looks to Him. He acknowledges Him. He knows that He's already connected, right, to the Father. Jesus never told anybody that we could find recorded where He goes, hang on to that. I'm going to go pray for a couple days, and then I'll come back and pray for you or lay hands on you. There was this constant connection between Him and the Father that has come through relationship with Him. It's an interesting thing to think that Jesus, we don't know all that He said to His Father, but if it was really important, I think it would have stood out somewhere that he would pray to God that He could do miracles. He never did. He was in relationship with God, and through that relationship, the power of God, the life of God, the character of God, the virtue of God just flowed through Jesus. That He lived in this uninterrupted connection with His Father. He wasn't turning spiritual life on and off like a wall switch. I'll go pray now. Okay, I'm done. I checked out. Right? If we do things as a duty, we can start to flip the switch. Rather than living in constant connection with Him, we still go and have alone time with Him out of relationship, but when we leave, we don't flip the switch. We continue to live and walk with God and allow that connection to continue to go on through our day and through the night and day after day. That connection with Him, that you can be busy doing something else, but you're still feeling connected to Him, and maybe a need comes from someone else, or you run into something where you need Him. There's this ongoing connection. It's a terrible thing to feel like you're standing on one side of a canyon and you have to shout and go like this across the canyon to try to get in touch with God. Especially when there's an emergency. Our prayers sometimes can be, I don't know, like a grocery list. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't write things down. I'm not saying that. But that is kind of the extent. It's coming in and say, hi, Father. So, here's my grocery list. This is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do. And I kind of like you to do it this way. Anyhow, and we go on. Now we're done. Gave you my list. I can come boldly. And we flip the switch. God's faithful. I told Him my list. Listen, God's not a vending machine. F2. right? Didn't quite make it to the bottom. Listen, He's not a vending machine. Now, we can bring our needs to Him, But please tell me that our prayer time is more than just giving him a grocery list as if he's an errand boy. And then we throw in a couple hallelujahs and, oh God, you're in charge of all, to kind of cover up our lack of relationship or gratitude with him so that we can fool ourselves and thinking, well, now, you know, I praised him and now I was real nice and I was polite and I asked just right. And, you know, after all, I skipped lunch too. You know, a beautiful thing happens for me probably every Sunday morning. There might be a few Sundays where it doesn't. There's a beautiful thing that happens. I'm in my office, and my door's either closed or it's open, and I'm behind my desk, and I'm going over different things I have to make sure in place this morning, going over some final things, highlighting a couple things, all just the different things I do. A person or two may stop in the office, want to talk to me. And then there's a point where Pastor Brock and Naomi, they come through that back door. And they bring two little people with them. Farah and Alita. Their daughters. Granddaughters. They start to come running down that hallway. And they come through that door. And I've had it where someone's even standing in there talking to me. And they come through that door. And I'm sorry if you've been one of those people who are standing in my office talking to me. It's okay for you to stay standing there. Just know I'm done listening to you for a moment. And if I don't get off from around my desk, they will come around my desk. And Farah comes running there because she's a little older, a little faster at 4 years old. And she comes up and reaches her arms up, and I take her up, and I pick her up, and she squeezes me tight, and she hangs on a little longer than what a natural hug would be, and I talk to her, and then she'll tell me something, I don't know, about yesterday, or I'll say something about the shoes she's wearing, and she looks pretty, and I love her, and Alita's not far behind her, and Alita comes running in, or I'll pick her up, or I'll get down there with both of them, and they'll hug me, and I'll say something, and sometimes Alita will go and smile at me like this, and other times she'll just look at me like, they come running down that hallway to Papa. They don't approach like, this is my grandfather. I'm about to step into the senior pastor's office. Do I look okay? I have to really behave in here. I have to wait my turn. Like they're coming in to see the magistrate, or they're coming in to see some community leader, political leader, principal, or whoever. No, they're just coming in to see Papa. And they know that they can come in there, because when they come in there, I wrap them up. And I say something to them. And I try to listen to them and understand the words they're telling me. And Brock and Naomi sometimes translate for me, because I miss some words or... is that what your prayer time looks like? I don't mean where we don't show respect, but the overcoming thing is that commitment of we know that what we find in God and who He is, that He loves us, He receives us. And I know I don't deserve it, but my prayers to Him come out of relationship, not out of a business meeting, and I've got to act right, and I got to say the words just right. For God to answer my prayers, I got to say the words just right. And if I don't say it just right, well, I've blown my chance. And I have to pray long enough. And do I have to pray hard enough? And do I have to pray with the right number of people? And we go through all these. Do I need to show God how much scripture I know so I can just... Listen, all of these things are important. But if that's what we're trying to do, to muster up enough faith in us to walk in faithfulness or in power, that we've got to try to, you know, do all of this to, like, God judges our prayers by these things. Well, I'm not going to answer it because, well, you know, you didn't pray long enough. You were 3 minutes short. You didn't shout quite loud enough. It's like we forget who He is. What does He say? What does Jesus teach? When you pray, and you come to the Father, and I'm paraphrasing, come to the Father, He already knows what you need. He already knows what you need. Sometimes when my kids, I could see it coming. I know what they need, know what they want. I know what they're going to ask me for. I can see that even in my wife at times. And not that others can't see it in me. And it's not like I'm super smart. I've had to watch myself. Sometimes there are some things that I need from my earthly dad. Counsel, wisdom. And He's got tools that I don't have. I've had to be sure to become a son, Felicia, that doesn't just come in, say, I need the tool, thanks, I'm gone. Now, there's been short visits because I got to take care of this. But I've had to... Is this yours? Sorry. I've had to do this. Me going out in the garage and getting the tool can wait. And instead it's, I'm going to call you Dad. Don't be uncomfortable. Sure. Dad, what kind of day are you having? How are you feeling today? Well, who do you think's going to win whatever? How are you and Webster getting along? That's his dog, my mom's dog. Got any doctor's appointments? And now I got to visit. And then I get to say, I love you, Dad. Thanks for all the stuff you did for me when I was a kid, showing up to all my games. Thanks for taking me hunting. I forgive you for all the bad stuff you did. No, I didn't tell that. Sounds like a relationship. There's a Hebrew understanding that maybe we should grasp. That we should learn to be thankful for what we have before we ask for what we don't have. This whole idea that God is always with us, this connection, this relationship, right? That He's Abba, Father. He's the Almighty God. We're going to show Him respect. I fear and reverence Him. Oh, yes, I do. But I also need time, and He wants time for me to call Him Daddy God. And I don't mean out of disrespect or casual, but out of a warmth, out of a commitment, out of an ongoing connection. I know when my kids use me. And I know the moments that they love me. And I'm not suggesting on the moments they use me they don't love me, but I know. I can see the superficial small talk coming. It's like, just go ahead and get to the point. What do you need? What do you want? And it's not often. I'm very grateful for the relationship I had with my kids. I love now because I get to enjoy the relationship part because all of them are married and have a spouse. prior to that, I was a problem solver constantly. And even after they got married a little bit, and that's okay. It wasn't a deceptive thing or stepping in thing. It's they reached to me. But I like those moments, those relationship moments. And I'm human. I'm flawed. I have a schedule. I got aches and pains and all the other things. God, He's the perfect Father. Amen. He knows what you need. He knows your history. He knows the plans He has for you. He knows when you're grateful and when you're not. He knows when you're in a rush and when you're not. And sometimes our understanding that God is always there can lead us to this poor life pattern with Him. Well, God says He's always there, so I can call Him anytime. I know that. Here's the issue, is now we treat Him once again like, you know, instant gratification microwave thing. Just checking in, and that's what I need. Here's the time you have. Bing! That's what we expect. And then we just go, hey, thanks. I want my kids to come in my house and hug me. I want them to recognize they're my child, I'm their dad. Now, if it's an emergency, you better get to the point. I get it. But if this is a visit or you're... Come here and hug your dad. I know probably what you need, or I may not... But before you get to that, can we get to the point that really matters? That you and I are connected? I'm gonna despise the day that Pharaoh and Alita discover that they think they're too old to run down that hallway. Or they're too cool. Or they are more interested in going to see their friends than running down that hallway and hugging this guy. I'm going to despise the day that they realize those things. I mean, I'm going to love them the same. I'm still going to be Papa. And it's not that they don't love me. We don't have to have that day with God. Other things are not more important. Everything we have is from Him. And if we can live in that gratitude and seek Him for being with Him rather than in these days of fasting and prayer, that it just becomes days of a grocery list. We are to give Him requests. Everything in prayer. Bring your supplications. Bring your requests to the Lord. We're supposed to. But if it only exists because of that, I'll just tell you we're missing out, number one. Number two, why should He answer any prayer that we're not really when we're not really connected with Him? Listen, you know, I have a measure of gratitude for Walmart. I'm not connected to Walmart. I can order online if I want and go pick it up or have it delivered. Please tell me that that's not how my relationship works with God. And if it does... We're not connected to Him. I don't care how much you come to church. Even if you tithe, even if you volunteer, even if you do some nice things in private, all of that looks like God, but yet we're not connected to Him. We're just doing these great things, these good things, and then when we talk to Him, we go, see, I'm pretty righteous. This is meant... to help us Yes, fight spiritual battles. Yes, make requests. Yes, seek answers. There's some days that I have suggested a little bit of a prayer emphasis. But these times of fasting and prayer are for us to have an intensity to connect with Him. And not just in the moment of prayer, but to be mindful. Listen, when you're fasting, you're mindful. You're mindful. Oh, there's been days where I've fasted in the past and I've gone to the fridge and I go, wait a minute, I'm not eating today. I may, you know, escape me for a second. Just because, you know, going to the fridge and opening the door is more of a habit than hunger. I still do it. Go there, lean against the island, open the two doors, and go, I'm not even hungry. She didn't grocery shop. There's nothing new in here. Why am I doing this? And I close the doors. It's getting in the habit of focusing on the Lord, building connection with Him, relationship with Him. That continues, that becomes a way of our life, that even after April 24th, that we continue this ongoing connection with Him. It's not like we did the prayer and fasting days. Check. This prayer and fasting, you might come in with an agenda. This is what I want God to do. This is what I'm going to seek Him about. And it's not that that's wrong. But if we miss the whole connection coming in and hugging Him part, and if we're doing the vending machine and the microwave and... I'll just tell you, don't bother fasting. Just spend your time going to learn how to pray. Following the model of Jesus, listen, He didn't come there, though He said this prayer out loud. Father, I'm thankful that You've heard me. I know that You always hear me. Listen, He was saying that for their benefit so that they would understand that He was the one that was sent. But it was to display that He has this ongoing connection. I was sent by Him. I acknowledge Him. What's going to happen here is an outflow of my connection with Him. It's not because I prayed this long, I did this long, I did this, and I obeyed this, and quoted a scripture, and all of that is good. But if it doesn't flow from relationship with Him, we're not flowing here. I'm just telling you, our prayers just are not going to be answered the same. There's no connection. It's not that He's mad or He's miffed or He's saying, well, I'm not answering it because you don't respect me and you don't come in here and hug me. It's that there's no connection. We break the connection. And how can that flow if something is not connected? There is a breakdown and it's not His fault. That responsibility is on us. So when we together embark on these days of fasting and praying, I want you to keep a few of these things in mind, that this is more about seeking Him, praising and giving gratitude to Him, acknowledging Him, getting humble enough to look at the stuff you have and realize, yeah, you worked, but He gave you opportunity, He gave you strength, and He's provided all this. The things that you have in life, well, I don't have very much, and I'm poor, and I'm this, and I'm that. Listen, hey, I'm in between. We all have our desires, we all have our wishes, we all have the old bummer. God has done so much for you and I. Don't go down in the pit, in the muck of the mire, and just stay there because you think life's so bad. Self-pity. Thank God. Trust Him. Put your hope in Him. He'll remind you of what's important. Gratitude that you give to God, make sure that you're not giving Him gratitude just to be polite. He sees through it. Don't give Him gratitude just to be polite. Let our gratitude somehow be prophetic in nature. This is something the Hebrew people understood. Prophetic in nature, you see, our gratitude to God is about thanking Him for who He is, but all of His faithfulness in the past. We like to do that so we can boost our faith. Like, remember what God has done. Okay, all right, okay, I'm pumped up right now. Ask Him now. It's about acknowledging what He's done in the past and recognizing that He's the same today, and He will be the same in all the tomorrows that He gives you and I. That you don't have to try to conjure up faith. Put the focus on staying connected to Him all the time. Right? He was so connected that there we look at Jesus and some of the healing and the miracles He did. He didn't pray for them necessarily. He spoke into their life or just touched them. So connected. Right? So connected that God just flowed through Him and met the need. That's who He is. Right? It's not that we shouldn't pray for one another. We should. We should pray for one another, lay hands on one another, anoint one another. It doesn't take away any of that. But if it's just that and no connection, this is just motion. And motion that we have to somehow pretend to be excited about. It's not about the technique. Jesus was doing it different. He's spitting in dirt and making mud and putting it on somebody's eyes. He's just saying, I don't need to go to your home. They're healed. Right? Your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and go home. And God just, He was there. Seek the Lord, bring your requests, but don't let that be the extent of it. It's about being connected to Him, seeking Him, being in His presence. As I've gotten older, I've realized some things. And I think I realized them when I was a little bit younger, but I've gotten more mindful. It's about spending time. The bonding that happens, the relationship that can happen. My buddy Russ back here, he sits in the back on the back wall. He's been coming to church here for a while. He stopped in to the church, I don't know, a week ago. And I come out of my office because Sue was talking to him and hear the voice, and so I come out. And we walked out in the lobby. He was just here to pick up the prayer and fasting schedule. And I caught him in the hallway here. I wasn't letting him get away, Joe. If he had a few minutes, I wanted to hang out. Spark of friendship with this guy. I didn't know where he lived. I don't know what he has. I know he works, and he has a work pickup truck. And I found out what he does now. I know who he's married to. That I knew. But I found out more about him. Talked with him. And then he's gracious enough, he makes an invitation to me. Relationship. Right? That's what God does. We seek Him, He meets us, He makes invitations to us. He'll make an invitation to you. God Himself, get this, God who created everything. To make an invitation to us, to me? See, this is the kind of connection that we want to develop and have as His church, here on earth that the gates of hell are not supposed to prevail against in the difficult, challenging, messed up world in which we live. We look at the world and, oh, they're so lost. I wonder if there's an evaluation that goes the other way and says, the church, where's their God? I've met them. Where's their God? I want us to think about those things as we step into days of prayer and fasting. Turn the volume off to the flesh and just crank the volume up to the spirit. You're going to catch yourself reaching for the fridge or reaching for some entertainment thing or just out of habit in our normal life. And it's going to agitate you and mess you up a little bit. And when's the day over? And when the stars coming out? It's cold outside. What is that guy sitting out in his lawn chair for in the garage, out in the driveway? What are you doing out here? Just sitting, it's not summer. I'm waiting for a star to show up. Here it is. Seek him. Him. The person of God. Seek the person of Jesus. Seek the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Spend time with them. Read the word. Bring your requests, but seek them. Spend time. Take a walk with him. Amen. Lay on the bed if you want. Just meditate on him. Your phone is off. Unless you're expecting an emergency call or your wife is pregnant and she's due any day, you leave it on. You seek him. Why don't you stand to your feet, please? If we will connect with him, I mean, and stay connected, stay in fellowship with him, you won't have to worry about trying to conjure up enough faith that he would answer your prayer. You have a relationship with him, he's going to make you, he's going to transform you, he's going to make us more like Jesus, a little more righteous. Because we all know that the prayers of a righteous person avail much with God. It's because they're connected to him. Listen, it's because they're connected to him. It's not that they're so righteous. And the reality is, we can't really be righteous because righteousness isn't just about conduct. It's about heart and faith and relationship with God. We think righteous is just actions and conduct. That's part of it. But you can obey the rules and have your heart far from God. The Israelites did it. You can stand up, but on the inside you're sitting down. That kind of thing. Let's stay connected with him. Let's seek him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.